No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Last hour, Jay Foreman, DP Harrison, Old School on this Thursday. Once again, Thirsty Thursday. Want to give a shout out to Kevin Meyermeyer, Corcum Bottle. Appreciate him coming in an hour ago. Libations and obviously bringing his off-the-cuff cookbook. And then obviously we want to thank the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients of Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th in Yankee Hill, 85th in Andromat / Old Cheney, and 168th in Maple up there in the O's. There's plenty of locations all over Lincoln, one in Omaha. Go in there. Don't be bashful. They got great service and great choices. But the only choice come August 28th is for Nebraska to get that dub against those pesky Cincinnati Bearcats. I think they were 5-7 last year. Mm-hmm. You know, for Cincinnati, you know, they're thinking like, oh, it's a great opportunity on, you know, for, you know, to go play in, you know, Kansas City Chiefs stadium. You know, their stadium only holds pretty much 38,000 people.
Well, so, I think that coach feels the pressure as well. Yeah, like, I need to have a good year here.
It's not only the pressure, you know, we'll get to that, but for the players playing in front of that many.
Yeah.
You know, that many fans, in particular, probably 80-90% in Nebraska, is going to play into Nebraska's favor, or it should. You know, Cincinnati, just when you look at it, just right off of the top of your head, you know, they bring back 8 starters on offense, 8 on defense, and obviously they got a defensive tackle, Dante Corleone, that is
the godfather,
straight up for real. Pretty decent quarterback. I know last year they had a good defensive line or tight end, excuse me, competitive team. You have a coach in Satterfield that's going to look, he's, you know, his back's against the wall. And I always tell people this, like, look, you know, the schedule is favorable. It's favorable mainly, let's just say, the time and the places that we play every game sets up potentially well for Nebraska, but you still got to go out there and complete the mission. When you play teams like Cincinnati, or the few times when Purdue, when Jeff Brohm was the head coach and they were coming off a little bit down year for them, you knew that when they're coaching in this offseason, or what was an offseason, they're doing anything and everything to get better. They're probably studying a little bit harder, or they're just waiting for some guys to mature. And so that's where Cincinnati's at. Obviously, they went and hit the portal for guys that fit their scheme. They're in the Big 12 now. So this is different than when Luke Fickell was there, where you could dominate your league, get guys in your program, develop them for a few years, mm-hmm. and then obviously be able to compete at the national level. Now, whereas Cincinnati, week in and week out, they are in a tougher conference, and they are starting off their season, you know, against Nebraska. And so, you know, they pose a problem just because they have eight guys on offense and eight guys on defense that have played in this system, played together, and they understand where they're at for the coach that, you know, that's on, you know, somewhat of the medium warm, lukewarm, or a true hot seat. So that's where they would pose a problem. I think player for player, talent for talent, size, speed, strength, Nebraska is, you know, is probably bigger, faster, and stronger. Now you got to go out there and make everything that they potentially have been hearing or assume come to fruition. I've only watched them bits and pieces, but I did watch them last year. And this, again, this is last year against Colorado, and they were a pesky team. They were physical, competitive, somewhat basic on offense and defense, but they went out and tried to execute, you know, up to their best ability. So, you know, as both teams are preparing for each other right now, it's kind of like that Rocky Balboa against Ivan Drago. You know, you're running through the snow and all that, and you know you're a month or two out, but you constantly, every time that you, you know, look in the mirror, you see Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. You're starting to think about them a little bit more as the days go by, hours go by, the meetings go by, and you start to focus in on Cincinnati, and Cincinnati start to focus in on Nebraska.
Yeah, it's that point where you start talking about how big the game is to the Bearcats. Out of the building that to be chosen for a neutral site game, mm-hmm. Kind of changes the focus and direction. Yes, coach on a hot seat, also his third year. So people, the expectation that, listen, 5-7 is not good enough. You'll have to make some decisions. They're athletic on both sides of the ball. They've done a really good job in the transfer portal. They've been picking folks from Texas A&M, Baylor, Colorado State. So from a talent standpoint, it's not that big a deal. And they put pressure on the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Foreman, they bring it from different places. They will bring you seven fronts. They'll flex from 7 to 5, back up to 6. They'll bring outside space. Yeah, they get into a little trouble if you guess right and catch them in man coverage outside. You can do some work. That's the game that we have in play.
Yeah.
And Nebraska's ability to defend a quarterback that can do everything on the field required all the time, anytime. He can run, he can throw, he can throw on the move. They like to keep it basic.
Yeah.
They will keep the close to the vest. You would imagine that if you just, whoever wins the turnover battle has the advantage. Big plays, don't let, you know, turnover flip the game. And then the crowd and the fact that hopefully Nebraska has an advantage. You can put that quarterback in some difficult situations and make it difficult for them to communicate.
Yeah, and when you look at them right now, they, you know, majority of the guys that they picked up in the transfer portal, now you don't know how good they are until you see them play, right, are in there. Definitely most of them are starters, and the other ones are, you know, head and shoulders, and they're too deep. And then also the coach knows, which is smart, with his situation and with, you know, guys coming back, is that they have to be an old team to try to compete with a team like Nebraska. So they only have one sophomore or two sophomores, one on each side of the ball starting. And so what that means is you're going to have guys that are, you know, I think the best thing you could do as a player is you always respect your opponent. You always look at what they do well, but you never bow down to them and talk them up to a point that you think that you're looking up at them. You're looking at them, and then you're trying to beat them down. And then another important thing that you do, which should be like how you, I'm not big on motivation being motivated, because I think the discipline is lasts longer than your motivation. Motivation is emotion. That's mm-hmm. what everybody comes out of that tunnel. You're going to be motivated. But are you going to be disciplined enough, and are you going to be invested enough when I'm constantly punching you in your face?
Well, that's my biggest fear is, like, it turns into how it could go south for me. It's like if it turns into that UCLA game. UCLA came to Memorial Stadium and they just sucked the air out of all the energy, and like we just gave the crowd no chance. And then it was okay, well, there's no motivation left. You guys got to go and find it. And Nebraska just never did.
Right. Well, that's what you want to see, the difference, you know, the big difference. I mean, sure, they, you know, got talented, more talented in the portal, but that's the big thing. That's what the mature, I say it's a mature year, maturity year, right? Understanding you got to, I guess, create your own juice. But the biggest thing you need to do is, like, as you are going through your, I call it philosophy, both by the coaches and the team and then you individually, is that you always assume and you prepare that you're going to get the best Brennan Sorsby. You're going to get the best Dante Corleone. So then, therefore, I'm never caught by surprise. And then the only people that are going to be caught by surprise is them, because I'm expecting your best shot. Matter of fact, I want to beat you with your best shot, because I don't want any discrepancies when this game's over after we beat you. You get on your bus and go home, and you understand there's no way we could have won this game.
Yeah, it's as you say, Jay, death by a paper cuts offense, right? Yeah. And whether Nebraska can be disciplined enough to just go, just do your job.
Right.
You don't have to be exceptional. Don't do anything out of the norm. Are you willing to stay disciplined? Jay Foreman, you going to stay home? Farley, you going to stay home? They're going to give you a bunch of distractions, but quite frankly, they want to throw short out of the backfield, short outs. Are you disciplined enough to be in the right place, right time, make tackles, and then go handle your
bid? This is a game that's sometimes it's as hard as you make it, right? The game plan and what you expect from them potentially, because there's no games played, is easy, right? You know exactly what they're going to do. You know their philosophy. They're trying. It's almost kind of like Indiana. You know, Indiana was beating people that just, okay, well, if we do RPO to this side, this guy kind of looks in, sucks in. Okay, we'll just throw it to the flat. Okay, you don't want to take the right angles. Boom. They have a little bit of that. The teams that played well against them last year did the basics phenomenally, right? So you go out there, it's keeping in front of you. Don't take the cheese. Don't jump any under routes. Know the down and distance. Play the sticks. Understand the philosophy that they're trying to do. Make adjustments once you get into the second or third series, because you're going to understand. Number one, in the first two or three series, you're going to see, okay, we'll know, you'll know how physical they are. You'll understand their speed and their cadence, you know, when they like to get in and out of the huddle, plays coming from the sideline. And then you'll have a better idea on how they're trying to attack you on offense, defense, special teams. Then you can really nestle in and get down to business. And then once you kind of withstand that and then inflict your will on them, then you just got to stay out of your own way and get in their way of being successful. And it's a learning experience, but then also it's a confidence builder as well.
They also do a really good job. The coaching staff is deep into film study and trying to get the personnel to mismatch with similar personnel.
Yeah.
They will run they'll run 21 package out there, but then they'll line them up differently and see, well, wait a minute, do they panic? Can we get the young linebacker to get out of position? Can we muscle their middle linebacker? Can we get one-on-one with a linebacker and not have the run fit be the way it's supposed to be? Nebraska, as Jay said, Nebraska's better at some positions. Mm. Of the 22 positions, they're better at 18.
Yeah.
They're better at 18. Now, the problem is one of those ones where you got to talk about is a game changer in the middle defensively. If you can't handle the Godfather in the middle of the Cincinnati defense, it's going to change some things, different pressure on Dylan.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's look, if you want to get a quarterback, I guess, off the schedule, is you create pressure or blitzes up the middle. We've seen it. It doesn't matter who it is. You can go all the way back to Bart Starr or whoever, Johnny Unitas. You get pressure up the middle and you get him off, and you can change the cadence of how he's able to get into his reads. And then if you're getting pressure up the middle and Dante Corleone can play the run and the pass and you're controlling the middle, then, you know, you can cause some problems just on that alone. Now, I think Justin Evans is probably looking his chops or possibly getting into the Remington conversation, or just in general, let's just stop that. Let's just say, if you're a competitor, you're going against a really good player. This is exactly what I want. This is why I'm here. I can control this game. And so I think, you know, really this game just comes down to is, you know, you can look at all the stuff and, you know, the one thing that they do, and this is where, you know, we'll do Black Shirt Breakdown. We'll do Inside the Huddle. When you look at it, you have to look at the concept of what they're trying to do. who's on the ball, who's off the ball, who's the move guy, how are they getting to the same play, same concept, just window dressing? Once you just understand the why, then they can do all that stuff because you're going to know, all right, second and eight, they're trying to, you know, I got to play deep to short, and they're trying to get us to come up in the flat, you know, or they're trying to make me jump the flat, throw it over, or they're trying to shift in most of the motion, shift one guy on the ball, off the ball. So then really, when they ran the same play out of that basic formation, they just got to the end formation just a different way. Once you really kind of understand that, and then you have to over-communicate as a defense, both front to back and then side to side, and everybody's on the same page, then you'll see that defense in Nebraska stifle these guys, because Nebraska will be able to set the edge, win at the point of contact if they do everything right, and then really try to really not confuse this quarterback, get him off his kilter, because he had a good year last year throwing the ball for almost 2,900 yards, I think 18, 19 touchdowns, 6 or 7 interceptions, but then he was able to almost have 500 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. That means he was essentially doing whatever he wanted when he wanted. Now they lost a 1,000-yard receiver, but he was able to create a lot of that by resetting the pocket. Because you know, DP is, you know, when you've been coaching calling plays, a guy that can break, contain, right, and then throw on the run. Like there's different running or quarterbacks that break, contain, and they're thinking the run. You actually want to play against them.
It's also when you break, contain.
Yeah, if you do it late, that's the worst.
It is a problem. It is a problem. The patience of an aggressive quarterback who's able to be patient. I need to stand here and get you to commit to your job and your lane. And then the discipline part. I'm playing against Jay, I know Jay's going to be where he's supposed to be. Now I need to keep him there so I can work around him. Otherwise, I'm putting myself in a tough spot. Experienced defensive backs can do that against a running a dual threat quarterback. If you're the other side, what they like to do is to dare you to throw into space. They really believe they can cover. They figure they can run with you. But where Cincinnati will be vulnerable to Dylan Raiola is throw to Green, take the green. If he's willing to be patient and catch them in those zone defenses, that man coverage, okay, fine. When they get in zone, go to work. Get mm-hmm. your food, go eat.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you go back and you look at what Colorado was able to do against them last year, that's when they really started to take control of the game. It actually puts more pressure on Cincinnati's offense and on that quarterback to do something that he's not equipped to do. He's at his best if the game's close because he's able to take more risk in running the ball. Mm-hmm. Making him drop back and beat Dylan, that's exactly what you want. So you want to get up by 9 points and 2-score game. So then therefore you can bring in the different packages and then eliminate his ability to break the pocket and get the off schedule first down and big runs. Right. So it's going to come down to who's the first team to gain an advantage, keep the advantage, adjust, readjust, hammer the nail in the coffin. And, you know, it's going to be a game where the guys from Cincinnati, look, Troy Evans was on here. He's one of my really good friends from the NFL, and he went to Cincinnati. Every single one of those guys felt like or feel like Ohio State turned their nose up at them. Notre Dame turned their nose
Nebraska
up at
too?
Nebraska too, but not as much. These guys that are on Cincinnati hate Ohio State, and both Ohio State and Notre Dame turned their nose up at them. So these guys are playing with a little bit of an edge and a boulder on their shoulder based on that. So you got to understand these guys are going to come in and compete and have a chip on their shoulder. That's fine. Okay. That's fine. That's that initial motivation. But once you get past that, we got to play football. And if we play football better than them, you know, the game, I won't say it would be easy. No game's ever easy, you know, playing at this level or playing at the level that they're at, but it will be a game that you'll be able to control and be able to, okay, we earn that victory. Get on the bus, come home, on to the next.
I just want Nebraska to tackle. I want them to tackle. Don't miss tackles. Get them to the ground on first play. All right, because they're going to challenge you. They're going to throw underneath you and get you to open field one-on-one, maybe one-on-two, get your compression check to see whether your balance is good. If Nebraska tackles, they're going to have a successful day. If they don't tackle, it's going to be tough.
I think that's a good point because I'm playing. Who's the quarterback? Illinois. He's back again. Altmyer. Altmyer's back because he's just dual threat quarterback, and we couldn't get ahead early. And then to your point, Jay, he was just playing with his food at the end there. We had no answer for Altmyer. He was taking off running whenever he wanted to. He was throwing it just. I mean,
the guy
we got us guessing completely. It felt like
the guys that can break contain. So if you look at Russell Wilson when he was at his best. That can break contain with the thought that they're going to throw are they are dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even talking about Russell, but they are dangerous. The guys that generally break contain, they're running. Well, then that's where the DBs and the fast linebackers can hawk him down and hit him. That's more hits on him. You want that. That's why Lamar Jackson is pretty much unstoppable when he's on his game now. He can drop back and pass it as a conventional quarterback. They can run the RPO stuff. And if you miss him or if he spins out, you in trouble.
Taking notes, notes.
Right. See, and it's not just what happens, let's say, in the first couple series. It's, okay, just say, for instance, right, say that he breaks contain and Jay Foreman's there, and I'm in a cover four drop, and I'm supposed to be taking the tight end, which is number three, up the seam, or I needed to be underneath the bang eight, right? But I jumped out of the coverage or my responsibility immediately. Well, if I don't recognize that as a player and only are focused on that it worked out because DP or Harrison were able to hawk him down from a quarterback or from a defensive position, the guys upstairs are saying, oh, we can come back to that. That's where I think, you have to make sure that you know what you're doing. And I will tell you this is one of my favorite former teammates' son is starting for Cincinnati. Antoine Peake Jr. So you know he's going to compete. Antoine Peake just got into the Cincinnati Bearcats Hall of Fame. So you know his son is going to try to represent and put on for his dad. So there'll be a pesky unit, but I think Nebraska will be able to handle him. They have a good tight end in Royer. He had over 500 yards. They tried to make him into a little bit of a mini Travis Kelce or whatever you want to call it. Was effective against Colorado, was effective against other teams. Big kid, can catch, can run. So you have to take away their safety net, and then you got to try to, really, really hone in on what they're trying to do conceptually wise on the offense. Because I think if you really, really start off fast against this offense of Cincinnati, right, and don't let them kind of hang around, three or four first downs, and then you make them punt, deep and pin you back, and you're always kind of being on your heels, I think it bodes well for Nebraska's offense to be in advantageous positions with the weapons they have, and if they can stay on time and especially, ahead of the chain. So
it to me is an opportunity to see who the Huskers actually are. We can speculate and look at it. We don't know what the lineups are going to be. We don't know what the preference is.
There's time
is
for
gonna,
that.
And there's right. Yeah. Like there's time for that. And then to figure out, you got to figure out what the scheme is, what percentage of run versus pass is going to be, when it's going to be those things, who are the features, what do you do? If you have to rely on your number three tight end to be your best receiver, what are you going to do?
On the bright side, the coaching staffs are so big. Like Nebraska's coaching staff in particular, you should have enough eyes on it to make those in-game adjustments. I mean, this coaching staff is huge. And
everybody,
all those coordinators are still around.
Everybody has a plan on opening day until they get punched in the jaw.
Mm-hmm.
Like that part, we don't know. And the same thing applies for Cincinnati.
No, but my point is you got enough heads to adjust once you get punched. That you should. Ideally, with that many coaches on staff, and again, you kept Ed Foley, he's still there. Satterfield, he's still there. The only coordinator you lost was Tony White, but John Butler steps up in-house. Like, enough eyes.
Yeah, I think everybody has like a role. I mean, I can't speak for Nebraska, but I'm sure because they've been able to expand the staff.
Yeah, Phil Snow's in there.
Yeah, so somebody's up. I mean, somebody's up there watching. I mean, literally, like I'm saying, I've been a victim where.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
You play linebacker and you don't make your own personal adjustments.
Yeah.
You know that, okay, I got away with it this time. They have people up there specifically watching how you react to certain play concepts. That's how they're able to run different plays out of the same formations and create explosive plays. We talked about it on a whiteboard Wednesday. With the difference being a running back, you know, in college to the pros, where you got to get your, you know, foot in the ground up field. But we also talked about Cliff Kingsbury when they were able to beat Detroit, where they ran an RPO out of a bunch formation, came out in the same bunch formation, knew Detroit was going to go essentially all out blitz to stop the RPO because of the run.
Mm-hmm.
They ran essentially a smoke screen, and Scary Terry went up for game, you know, break and play. That's what the game comes down to. I mean, if you think you're just going to roll out there and just Peter roll everybody, then you're just not really looking at it. The game is adjustments, how you react to the adjustments, and how you essentially understand, even if it is works out for a positive. You know what I'm saying? Okay, here's an example before we go to break. I'm a defensive back going up against DP, right? He hits me with a double move. I somehow recover. He's got a 2-yard advantage on me. I can't, even though I know that the DBs will celebrate, right, because it was overthrown, I have to make sure that's in my data bank, that I understand that the double move is coming again.
Yeah, they saw you.
Or the sluggo, slant and go, mm-hmm. or some sort of, you know, post 7 cut. Something is coming because they know and the player knows because the communication, I got him or I can get him. And so as long as you keep that and then keep everything, the main thing, you know, it'd be a nice little, I don't know if they're flying or driving back from Kansas City.
It's going to be a good night in Kansas City. I'm excited. I'm trying not to get too amped up until 27. I'm just trying to hold it down.
Yeah, it's a long ways away, but it's not, you know, and that's where you're battling in camp. So anyways, that's a Cincinnati preview. Now we'll move over to the NFL, ask DP's opinion on, you weren't able to, or as of yesterday, smelling salts were banned. Now, if you bring your own, it's all good. Which I don't know if that passes through the security at TSA. We're going to see about that.
It just seems backwards. Like, bring your own. Seems like if we just have our own, that's league accepted. That'd be the smarter route to go. But yeah, let's just have everybody bring their own.
Trust the athletes. Trust them.
Trust the athletes. That's always going to work out well. Anyways, Jay Foreman, DP Harrison, we'll be right back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? We're back. Jay Foreman, DP Harrison. Second segment. Almost that time for NFL preseason to officially kick off. I know they had the Hall of Fame game last week, but that was just
not the same.
It was like a little scrimmage that you were able to see the Hall of Fame players. Now it is officially NFL preseason time, 3 games tonight.
At a ballpark.
Yeah.
At a ballpark, I tell you.
Yeah, not a high school. the Hall of Fame game is pretty cool, but Ty Robinson is going to play tonight, playing against a. It'd be a pretty good test because they're playing the Bengals, and the Bengals will have some depth, and Bengals are looking to, you know, bounce back with Coach Zach Taylor. DP Harrison, what are some of the things when we watch the game that you want to see from Ty in his first preseason game?
Oh man, reps. I don't want to see him jogging off the field on third down. I want to see him out there. I want to see him out there. Look, put some pressure on him to get some pressure on the quarterback, wherever it is, get your run fits right. A lot of plays, a lot of reps. don't give me the first down and then off the field thing. I want to see him out there and see the work being done. You know, everybody's going to try you. Everybody's going to try you. Look, I've been all hyped up watching this quarterback special, right?
With Joe Burrow?
With Joe Burrow and
Kirk Cousins.
They dropped an SEC documentary on Netflix, too.
Yeah. Can I say that thing made me love Kirk Cousins?
I like Kirk Cousins.
Kirk, I apologize, man. Yeah. I apologize. I didn't know you were that guy. Like, he's just a good dude. Like, we think his weirdness is lame. Nope.
He's just a good dude.
Joe Burrow and his family. Jimmy. We've met Jimmy several times at Supernovas games, as a matter of fact. Part ownership. Like, he shows up, so he's actually a part of that. Good family. Joe is way more cool than perceived.
He's eccentric. Like, he's just Joe.
Yeah, like, it. He gets it.
Yeah.
Like, he gets it. He's like, wait a minute, I'm having a Super Bowl. I'm having an MVP year. My team's not having an MVP year.
Yeah, so I'm not going to get it.
Right, like, I'm not going to get it, but that's okay. I'm still going to ball. I'm still going to compete. And then the same thing. Look, Jared Goff, we knew less about – has there been a better quarterback that we know less about than Jared Goff? Like, he's
– this him and Brock Purdy.
Right? Tonight to see it in full, right? You're going to get organizations. One, you're in three really cool buildings tonight.
Yeah.
Like, you're at the Ravens Stadium, you're at the Eagle Stadium, you're at the Seahawks Stadium.
And you got teams doing different things at different times. You got to think, obviously, Cincinnati and Philly, they're set quarterback-wise. Now, being a Super Bowl champion, it wasn't something I've never done, but, you know, it's probably a different preseason for them, right? Everybody trying to get back. The Philly's problem or the biggest challenge they have is getting guys back into reality and understanding what it's like to be the hunted versus the hunter. Then you have Cincinnati that's looking to get back after, you know, in their mind, a record-breaking offense. And then you have the defense with Al Golden coming in and a lot of the players that are still left over of a really good defense in the years past trying to get back right.
You're trying to get healthy.
You're trying to get healthy, trying to get paid. Cam Taylor-Britt trying to get paid. And then when you look at Seattle, right, and the Raiders, look at it. Okay, Pete Carroll is, even though they have a new coach, you still think of him as his friend.
Like, he ate at the same restaurant that he's eating at.
Right.
Like, the new coach had to go somewhere else. He had to go somewhere else.
He's eating at the team dinner over there, stopping by seeing some of the players.
He's at the big table.
Yeah.
And the new head coach is sitting over
by
at the corner.
Right. Then you got to think he's the head coach of the Raiders now. Geno Smith started at Seattle. He's now with the Raiders. And now the Raiders have Sam Darnold. And obviously they drafted Jalen Milroe. And they are trying to reshape themselves as the second coming of the Legion of Boom because they're led defensively right now.
Mm-hmm. And on offense, they got Genty, right? I think that Raiders drafted Genty. Yeah.
They got the tight end from Georgia. The year before, yeah,
Brock Bowers,
they got Myers as the receiver, but they have Pete Carroll and he has the energy. They got Max Crosby.
Raiders are going to be fun. Yeah,
Raiders are going to be fun, and so is Seattle. So, you know, you got three different games, three different teams. Everybody's trying to,
and everybody looking at the Colts trying to figure out what y'all
do. and that
what y'all just Austin Orman, what y'all do? The Colts, what y'all do?
Listen, the Colts are dangerous for this reason only. If they can stay healthy and they can get the best version of Daniel Jones, the one that took the Giants to the playoffs, the AFC South is in some trouble. The Colts defense, their youth, and then the offensive line went healthy with Jonathan Taylor. They have two or three receivers that are more than serviceable. But the problem is they want to play Anthony Richardson, and they keep going back to him. And he's keep giving him the same answer. I'm not ready. Then he makes one play in practice. Yes, you're ready. He said, no, I'm only able to do it. And so then you go in between Daniel Jones and that, and that's the biggest thing. It seems like of all the six teams playing tonight, they all either have an answer or a plan at the quarterback position. I think the Colts is the only team that does it.
I just trying to understand what the real is with the Colts. Like, are we flipping a coin for the starting quarterback position?
Okay, let me ask you this. Who would you start?
We were Bach and I were talking about it earlier, and we were trying to say that and correct me if I'm wrong, that in order for you to the best team in each conference generally is the guy who has the quarterback that resembles the coach's play the most. Right? That in those spaces that Harbaugh has figured out how to manage Mr. Jackson, right? That okay, we can put you in there and get the work done. Jalen Hurts fits Philadelphia. Brock Purdy has become the face of the 49ers. Mr. Daniels is DC. What do you say about the Colts? Like, what is the personality? Is it physicality? Are we the lunch pail kids, right? We're the hard hat kids? Who are you? Is the defense good enough for you just to get out of the way of whoever is playing quarterback for you?
I don't think the defense is that good. That's what I was saying. Okay, but who, again, I'm going to go back to it. Who would you start, Anthony Richardson Sr. or Daniel Jones?
Danny Dimes.
No. Listen, I'm not a member of the Daniel Jones fan club. I'm just not. Look, I've seen that dude make plays that make my if I had a 10th grade quarterback make some of the decisions Daniel Jones made, I would have issues. Richardson is just, he's making the right decision. Sometimes the execution is bad. Daniel Jones, I don't understand the decisions. Tell me you're the best athlete on the field, and then you're constantly making the wrong decision. Constantly.
That's both of them. Both of them are, that might be the most athletic number one and number two quarterback, but both of them make the most bonehead plays.
Yeah, I don't feel great about it either. With Richardson, how many tries do I want to give you?
Yeah, well, he's still young. I guess if I had to choose, if it's close, you go with Richardson.
If it's close,
I think also if you start Richardson, you really kind of start him off, like even with him, and this is the way it should be. You talked about the head coach. The head coach, Coach Jalen Hurts, when he pretty much took the Kansas City Chiefs to the brink of destruction all by himself. So you should be really having a better offense because you have three quarterbacks, including Riley Leonard, that all kind of somewhat mirror the same skill set on the surface.
So I'm looking at, and you can look at several ranking services for quarterbacks, and it's all over the place. It's all over the place that I'm looking at this one. So the very first one that brings up, and it's changed that, of course, the top quarterback in the division is CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Stroud is there. Then it becomes Trevor Lawrence, Cam Ward, Anthony Richardson. Yes. And in any order that those last three could go from fourth to second or second to fourth with the flip of a coin. And then, oh, by the way, the guy that came in because he had the job. He was handed a starting job in the NFL, handed it, and failed magnificently, brilliantly. Now, is he Trent Dilfer?
Daniel Jones?
Is he Trent Dilfer, or is he
Alex Smith?
I would not offend Alex Smith.
I take that back.
I would not offend him.
Alex Smith was good. He's getting to the playoffs.
Is he
Jay Fiedler?
Yeah.
Mitch Trubisky?
No, not that bad. He's not that bad. No, he's a Duke quarterback for crying out loud.
But he's won a playoff game.
He really win it?
He played well that year. I'm gonna give him his just due. He played really well that year.
That's gotta be the worst division in terms of
and I will say this, when he was with the Giants, they gave him no help.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and they had no line, no receivers, no anything. So, I mean, I just think
do the Colts have better receivers? They have the better running back, which gives me hope that currently, if they ride with Taylor, it's not going to matter who their quarterback is.
Yeah,
because he can run and be effective out of the backfield. He'll make the tight end better. He'll make the receivers better. If you're going to use him, if he's hurt, it doesn't matter who plays quarterback for them.
I agree 100% on that.
Yeah, I think they have a chance, but that quarterback room, man,
And Richardson's starting tonight, which is
but here's the thing.
Like, I love that. Your starting quarterback has to start game one of preseason.
At some point in time, though, you might have to make a power move. And I know this might not happen, and we talked about the QB1. Look, if Daniel Jones doesn't take the position and Anthony Richardson either gets hurt or plays not up to snuff, and you see – I know they like their wide receiver room because you got Michael Pittman Jr., you got Josh Downs, Alec Pierce, and then you got Mitchell from Texas. That's a really good young receiving core. Then you got Tyler Warren along with Mo Alie-Cox as far as – and Drew Ogletree, the tight end in the offensive line, is physical, right?
Oh, I forgot they drafted Warren.
Right. So here's the deal. I'll call Atlanta and just say, we'll take Kirk Cousins. You take Anthony Richardson. He can be your backup to Michael Penix Jr. Daniel Jones, you got to deal with it. And then now we're trying to make Riley Leonard into a better version of Daniel Jones, and we're right off of there because then.
But why not do that? Because
the GM that whoever drafted Anthony Richardson. Here's the thing that people don't understand about the NFL. A GM will ruin a team's chances to make noise. Cause I think the Houston Texans are vulnerable based on if their offensive line doesn't, they got rid of the best offensive tackle in the league.
Yes, sir.
And then, or one of them, I would never disrespect Trent Williams, but a GM will essentially ruin a team's chances and put a lot of guys' careers at stake and the ability to extend your career. Cause if you make the playoffs, it does add on. You just go to another echelon as far as a player for the simple fact that they don't want to be proven wrong until they absolutely have to admit it. They will force a player or a situation until they can find a viable excuse so they don't get fired in order to do it. The reason why Kirk Cousins is still with the Atlanta Falcons is so homeboy can keep his job. You trade Kirk Cousins and he goes somewhere and plays good, and Michael Penix Jr. doesn't play well or gets hurt, who do you think is getting fired?
But do they accept and fully acknowledge that Kurt's downfall last year was that he played hurt? He played beat up, super beat up.
Here's what they did. If they did, they wouldn't just have given Michael Penix the start.
Well, they didn't have a choice. That quarterback thing went in and it showed.
No. I'm talking about this offseason.
Okay.
They would have recognized it and said, we have a QB battle.
Well, I thought that's why they didn't get rid of him.
No, they didn't get rid of him because homeboy says, I got to keep my job. And then they weren't getting what they wanted. So we'll just keep him until Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones do exactly what we've seen them do.
If Penix is not good, and they like Penix.
They do.
They like Penix.
Of course. But if Penix is not good,
it is a nightmare situation for Bro down in Atlanta.
Well,
that's going to be terrible.
Here's the thing. People will look at him. Raheem Morris is win-loss, right? Okay. He didn't pick. He obviously okayed Kirk Cousins in free agency. Mm-hmm. So that's his first pick. Well, then, yes, he was in the conversation with Michael Penix. Well, if it doesn't work out, think about this. Mm-hmm. He's gone, or the GM's gone. The assistant GM's gone. The head coach is gone. And then everybody's talking about, you know, this. They're looking at his win-loss record. They're not looking at what led up to it. Because they got a young, athletic team and have some pieces there. And they were playing pretty good at times.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, people always look at – obviously, I've experienced it. It's just that – it was like when I talk about Houston Texans. They didn't bring in a veteran for David Carr. And you're like, oh, well, this dude ain't no good. Well, he doesn't know how to be a pro yet. Mm-hmm. And the two guys that were supposed to protect him are on the sidelines with golf shirts on and didn't ever play. Never. Harrison? Not that Brilliant. They were hurt at the beginning of the year. They never played. Do you understand me? Mm-hmm. Tony Boselli practiced one time during the bye week, and Tony's a good dude. And Dom Capers like, look, I know your one arm is, we're going to put you at right tackle. Played. John Clayton, rest in peace, had a big story on an ESPN. Tony Boselli, I was like, that. He said that if he played right tackle, would hurt himself making it to the Hall of Fame. I'm done.
It's the space, man. It's going to be interesting. That's all.
And David Carr commenced to get sacked 82 times in one season. anyway, we won't talk about that. We're going to take a quick break, come back, put a bow on this Thursday. Jay Foreman, DP Harrison, we'll be right back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Short segment, Jay Foreman, DP Harrison. A lot going on today. Preseason is 36 minutes away from us, kickoff. And then, actually, no, we have a game at 6, so it's about 6 minutes away, and football season is upon us. So now the weeks will go by faster, and so the excitement should start to amp up here day in and day out.
Don, I got an answer for you. Don asks, he goes, Jay, when are we getting treated to a breakdown for the Lincoln High School football teams?
We'll do that in the next coming weeks. We'll look at the first game that we'll do, and then we'll do it statewide. We'll go top 10, and then we'll go the next eight teams. But, yeah, Lincoln teams are going to be more competitive, I think, as a whole, than people give them credit for. And it'll be an interesting year. I think, you know, when you're in Lincoln, you play like – obviously, you think about state championship. But I think that winning the Lincoln championship is obviously a big deal, and it's going to be pretty competitive. Just like every sport, I think it's going to be really, really competitive within your own city lines or whatever city lines, which hopefully will allow you to, depending on the matchup, to be more effective when you get in the playoffs. So it is coming.
Looking Don forward Juan. To it. Good. And looking forward
yeah.
to
it. Yeah, it's going to be on games. And I always say, tell the kids this. I know you guys have been taking your supplements to get make sure your arms look big. But the first game is always the hottest. And because it's at 4:30, and then they have another one at 7 or 8 o'clock. Make sure you don't get out there and cramp up by the second quarter.
What did your coaches do in high school for you? What was your fix for the cramps?
I'm from Virginia. We did pickle juice, bro.
Pickle juice and salt pills.
You yeah. want to know something monster move that our defensive coordinator did? Mustard packets. Gotta be that the works. Worst way to go about oh. fixing cramps. He'd make you eat mustard packets.
Oh, no.
Thank
no.
the Lord, I never cramped.
No, but bananas and like potassium.
Yeah.
Like we had to shout out Marshall Cato, Coach Marshall Cato, and then Coach Reggie Harrison. Reggie Harrison said what the Steelers did because he was part yeah. of the Steelers crew. And they had, it was Ernie Holmes who was the first one to bring pickle juice and say, this is how we're going to beat cramps. Get that Gatorade stuff. That country boy brought him and Dirk Winston
yeah.
brought in pickle juice. And then Reggie Harrison shared it with us at high school.
That's pickle right. juice is a better move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pickle juice, what we did, and then salt pills, and then make sure you hydrate.
Yeah. Just yeah. mustard packets.
Hydration up. So appreciate you listening. Jay Foreman, DP Harrison, we'll holler at you tomorrow.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.